This is an Enterprise Time Security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Matt Locke from Varonis.
Good morning. My name is Matt Locke. I am the UK Technical Director for Varonis. Varonis is a company that provides organizations with governance and the ability to overlay security analytics on unstructured data.
One of the challenges we face at the moment is we are gathering security data from everywhere. Every machine that has a log file, we gather it, we throw it together. We're overwhelmed by that data. We don't really know what to do with it. There's too much. How do we begin to make sense out of this?
It's a good question, and I think it's a problem that everybody is faced with. There's no one having this problem on their own. The first thing that we always try and talk about is actually provide context and apply some priority and some identification of where you should begin. Being able to understand not just the content of the data, but its role within the company as well and those privileged users that are using it absolutely gives you a good starting point of where you should begin. So you're absolutely right. De-scoping what you need to look at is absolutely vital.
Where do we get that context from? Because if I've got a set of discrete logs, a log file doesn't have context. It's just a data point.
Absolutely. So where do those logs come from? I suppose is the first question. The solutions that are generating these logs on their own perhaps don't provide context. But what we find is if you can correlate them with multiple different systems and bring it together, then it paints a much clearer picture of what you're looking at. We spend a lot of our time trying to get organizations to not look at a single point, but actually combine multiple sources of reference to be able to make a decision about whether they should investigate it or not.
How easy is that for them to do? Because gathering data points is easy. Making data points relate to each other is hard.
Very hard. It is very hard. With the amount of information we have to get through, it's not something that we can do as human beings. You need a certain level of intelligence in the systems that you're using to be able to correlate this information. So one of the things that we focus on is the sensitivity of the information in the first place, because this obviously helps an organization make a decision about whether it's worth the time and the effort and the investigation, the priority they put into this. We've always talked about context in this thing, and we create a framework, and the framework itself not only provides an understanding of governance in terms of access, but to really make any sense of it at all, you've got to understand the context. And for that piece of the puzzle, it's about the content. And it may be regulatory, it may be sensitive, it may be something that's relevant to the company.
Now, you mentioned regulatory there. One of the challenges for regulatory and compliance controls is that they come in very complicated form. They're then interpreted by a committee and they're handed to IT, who reinterprets them if they don't just throw them in the bin in most cases. Creating an ability to audit that data back to the compliance and the regulatory needs, and then using that to go forward to find incidents, it's something that companies struggle with day in, day out. How do we improve that?
The key is to make sure that the people who understand the value of the information are making those decisions. We still live in an era where IT are seen as the custodians of this information, and therefore, along with that, they would appear to be the best people to understand the value and the access and everything around that data. So one of the messages that we always try and do, and it's part of the maturity model that we always try and follow, is to get the business, the custodians, the people who are creating this information, whether they're governance related or whether actually valuable information to the company, actually help make those decisions. IT plays a big role in discovering this information, but then feeding that back to the company to get their input and then passing it back to IT to then invoke decisions about retention and where it's kept, etc., is absolutely key. And without that, you're never going to succeed.
You also mentioned unstructured data at the beginning. We've talked about log files, which of course are structured, they're simple data points. But unstructured data is our biggest problem because we don't actually know what it is. How do we extract the context from that unstructured data?
So we have to scan it. We have to scan the information and actually understand what's in it. But again, even on its own, that might not indicate whether it has a certain level of sensitivity in the company. What we also take into account when we look at unstructured data, scanning it and understanding what's in it is one piece, but also identifying those departments and those users within the company who are actually actioning that information, because that provides an even further layer of context around it. It's all very well understanding all this stuff, but then, as I said earlier, it's important that then the decisions around that are then passed back to these people to understand the value of that information.
How do we separate privilege access from context? Good example, you've been in a company 20 years, you probably have access to everything because nobody ever revokes a right. So you're accessing all this data and the system says, well, yes, you have the right. But the context should say, no, you don't, because you're no longer in that role. Are you seeing people becoming more savvy to that, or is this a problem that we still have to address?
I think that's a fascinating question. It all goes back to this joiners, leavers, movers process, doesn't it? And it's been an uphill struggle for most organisations. The way we combat this, and we've been doing this now for over a decade, is actually be able to identify peer relationships. It's looking at those individuals who are accessing the information. We take context in different places like security groups, but it's more around the actual activity itself to make a decision about whether this person behaves in the same way as those other individuals that are accessing the information. And over a period of time, you can build up a picture about whether they actually actually need access to this information in the first place, just purely by their behaviour and what they're doing. Being able to then make recommendations and again pass it back to the ONIANs, the custodians, people that are creating this information, for them to make that informed decision about whether they should retain that access or lose it, is absolutely key. Peer relationships is really, really important for everything: access, security incidents, behaviour analytics, the whole lot really.
Glad you mentioned behavioural analytics, because of course we're now having to deal with a lot of credential theft. The problem with credential theft is that we look at it and it's the right person, it's roughly the right location for them, it's the sort of data they access sometimes. How many companies tie their behavioural analytics back to peer evaluation?
It's a very difficult question for me to answer. It's absolutely core to the platform that we have. Every engagement that we have to make sure that when an analyst is presented with something that perhaps warrants investigation, if they have some peer identification, then that's going to go a long way to helping them do it. So for us, peer identification, content, behaviour, all go hand in hand. It's not a black art, but it's certainly using different data points to be able to give an analyst as much information as they can. And really what we're trying to do is make them more efficient in how they can investigate these pieces as well.
How much of the requests for features are coming from analysts and how much are coming from managers, who are often very disassociated with the reality of trying to understand an attack on the ground?
Well, I think that's interesting. I would say probably 50-50 at the moment. I think what we're finding is the analysts want, without being too cheesy a phrase, but they want the right alerts at the right time, and they don't want to miss anything without being inundated with things that they don't want to spend time on. And so they're always requesting more accuracy in that sense of what they look for. The business have become more savvy now. What we're finding is that the business are beginning to understand the value of their data. GDPR's helped with this, of course, and we all can relate to PII information, but the business are actually requesting interfaces or mechanisms of actually taking back control of the data more and more, which is great, which is what we've been talking about for many, many years. And it's always been a bit of an uphill struggle. I have a day job, it's not for me to look after the data, that's IT's problem. And what we're seeing now is the number of conversations we have with the business are now driving them to ask for more different features and different things that gives them more control, really.
Taking control of the data is something we've got to do more of. If we look around, our mantra for the last 25 years has been taking control of the endpoint. The problem is those endpoints are no longer ours. They're owned by the users. There's only a limited amount of things we can do. How do companies shift their security stance to be data-orientated rather than a device-orientated?
That's a good question. I think it comes down to education, really, at the end of the day. There's a lot of training that needs to be done with the employees. I think it's become a lot easier. I think employees are now more aware of the responsibility they have for this information. There are always going to be mechanisms that you can put in place to ensure that information doesn't reside in areas that it shouldn't. But really, the key to this is to ensure that the employees actually understand their responsibility in the first place. This is an ongoing challenge. We've been doing it for years and years. I think it's become easier. I think people are certainly more savvy to this, and they understand the risks associated with putting that information in areas that it shouldn't be.
How savvy are they, though? If I look around, I see people, oh, I've got an app on my phone, or I've got an app on my device, I can use this anywhere, so I'll stick this data there because I need to do something tonight or over the weekend. That's not savvy, because that individual doesn't know how good that cloud service is. The company doesn't know what that cloud service is. So they become duplications of that data all over the place. How do we break that cycle? Can we break that cycle?
A lot of it comes down to visibility. The number one thing that any organization needs is to understand what they're doing, where the information resides. That is the first challenge. That's the first battle. If we can start to build a picture of where they're actually saving this information, then utopia surely is where we get to the point where all the information resides in the right place. And the visibility and the alerting, the reporting that we get around this stuff actually helps us go back to those employees and the business to make sure that they are actually invoking the policies that we put in the first place. And it's never going to be fixed overnight. It's going to be an ongoing tuning thing. But if we can get visibility, we can get an understanding, and we can start to silo information in the right places, then when it does appear in places that it shouldn't, again, it goes back to training and ensure people don't do this stuff. At the end of the day, we can't stop them sharing information, because we can't cease as a company to be productive, but we need visibility of what they're doing.
Do we need visibility of all that data? Let's be fair here. If we look at the amount of data organisations have got and our attempts to do data classification in the past, that's a battle we've lost. We're no longer dealing with megabytes of data or gigabytes of data. We're dealing with exabytes of data in instances. Of that data, only a small amount really falls into privacy data or falls into intellectual property that is critical to the business. Many businesses are trying to deal with all their data. So how do they start to separate out? How do they start to get a vision of what data absolutely must be protected and then create little rings around that as to, we don't care about that data has no significant impact?
Again, it comes down to actually understanding what's in the data itself. It's an interesting point because one of the things that I always talk about is once you start to go down the data governance route and implement some sort of policies around data governance, do not try to tackle the whole thing in one go because you will absolutely not get there. At Veronis, we wrote a white paper a number of years ago, which was a methodology about how you tackle, for example, unstructured data. What was important about that methodology is that you can apply it to targeted, focused pieces of data, whether it is sensitive, whether it is regulatory, whether it is departmental. You've got to be able to understand the content of the data and the context around it and then start to focus on those areas that are of high concern. And you're right, you're never going to be able to control everything, but you need to take control of the crown jewels, to use a better term.
Let's assume as an organisation I've got control of the data that we own. Unfortunately today, I'm so tightly integrated with my supply chain and my customer chain that everybody else has access to this data. And in order to function, we're collaborating and giving this data away. How do I make sure that they treat my data right? How do I make sure that I treat their data right?
Very, very difficult. And this is what the ICO have tried to tackle. That's the nub of the GDPR regulation, really, is that everybody needs to be responsible for any information that is, in this instance, pertinent to European PII information, whether it comes from another company, whether it's your company generating this information. We could put in all sorts of technologies in place and digital rights management, encrypt it, and all of these sorts of pieces. To really be successful for this, everybody needs to conform to regulations and understand that they all have responsibility for the information, wherever it comes from. Yeah, we can all write NDAs and put all these things in place, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be looked after properly. There is always a bit of risk. We've always had to share and collaborate information. We're in a much better space than we were many years ago now because people understand their responsibilities and the impact it can have on them as a business.
The problem with technologies and compliance is that they slow down our ability to work as businesses. And businesses are being told you must go faster. You've got to accelerate your pace of change, or you've got to accelerate your pace of using of the data you've got. Can we realistically get to a happy marriage between the two?
I have to be optimistic here and think that we will do one day. Goes back to this adage with security and usability, doesn't it? Which is the biggest payoff. I think it will get easier as technology improves and things like security by design gets built into the processes that we use, which is really where we want to get to. This will certainly help in the future, but we have to be optimistic in this type of thing.
Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Ian.